Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome, everybody, to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the Nadia and Laszlo to my Nandor.
Very on brand.
The Nicholas and fucking to my Cage.
Whoa!
Whoa.
Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello.
And Frank couldn't be here today. So we just finished smoking a little bit of weed.
Once again, celebratory weed.
Yep, with a purpose. With a double purpose.
Double purpose.
Yep, we got a double purpose going on. Because not only is it the 420 month, it's also somebody's special day.
Bop, 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 bop.
Because today is also John's birthday episode.
Man, I feel kind of lucky to get to celebrate my birthday along such a fantastic holiday in 420. Like, how did this work out this way? What did I do to deserve this?
Well, I think literally be born. That's what you did to deserve this, is be born.
I didn't ask to be born, though. It just kind of happened, you know?
You were just born this way?
Damn straight.
And for John's birthday episode and for the 420 episode, we're not doing like a stoner movie, but we're doing another movie that like it's fun to go watch while you're high, and it's a new release.
Yeah, today we're going to make the trek to the movie theater and go see Renfield.
Renfield. Ooh. Whoa, that was like a growl one.
Shivers.
Yeah, today we will be going to see the great grand wizard himself, Nicolas Cage, playing a goddamn Dracula monster.
Probably whatever else comes out this year on his behalf. This feels like it's going to be the cagiest of all of them, and I'm so excited for it.
Maybe the cagiest we've seen him in a while, and we saw Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, we literally saw a movie where Nick Cage played Nick Cage. In this movie, he's going to be more Nick Cage than the Nick Cage that he played in the Nick Cage movie.
This is the Nick Cage everybody wants.
This is his default setting. So, as it's also John's birthday, since the episode does have a purpose of getting high for 420 and getting high for John's birthday, we're going to do some birthday.
Birthday! All I have really are some like fun birthday fun facts. This is going to make you feel very old. But do you want to hear what movies were the top movies the month you were born?
The month I was born?
Not you.
You mean the year John was born?
Yeah, the month and the year. Yeah.
Hopefully some good ones.
Well, the number one movie when you were born was D2, The Mighty Ducks.
And hell yeah. That feels appropriate.
Yeah, I remember having the clamshell of that.
Major League 2, Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Okay.
Schindler's List was at the theater.
I mean, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
That feels pretty solid. Very sports forward, but still good.
Yeah, but that was April of 1994 at the theater.
April of 94.
That should be a song of my life. It was the April of 94.
Schindler's List was in the theater. Yeah, you can't follow anything up with that. Yeah. It was Schindler's List, not a mic drop. All right, John. Well, with you turning 29 this year, you're staring down that precipice of what's coming down the line.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's going to be happening the sooner rather than later because, you know, after you go see Nick Cage tonight, every Nick Cage movie you see after is going to be one day closer to 30.
Ugh, I'm not ready to come to terms with that. You mean you tell me I got one more year of 20s?
You got one more year of 20s, which in Nick Cage time means like 5 to 7 movies.
Okay. When you put it that way, it feels a lot longer. So that's how I'm going to look at it going forward. I got about 3 Cage movies left until I'm 30, you know.
There you go.
So with 30 coming up and with your 20s going by and it's been another year since the last John birthday episode, what's been your greatest of the year so far?
In the year of 28? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. We're just time traveling. We're jumping all around here.
Okay. Oh, there's so many multiverses. Where do I look? I would have to say, I mean, other than obviously, you know, doing this silly thing with you guys every week, maybe the trip up to Stephen King, his residence, to call him an asshole. Going to Maine was a pretty magical experience, I gotta say.
You would say you're fond of the lobster.
Very, very fond of the lobster. And lighthouses, apparently. In their phallic states.
Me too.
Well, what are you doing for, like, the pre-30, like, what do you got to get out of the way before you hit that 30 mark?
Well, I guess going to the land of Twilight is pretty exciting. That's the main thing on the docket. We're heading up to, I believe, Forks, Washington this year at some point.
Yeah, fun coming soon.
Oh, see, that's like exactly like the 28, the inverse. It's the other side of the lighthouses and the lobsters.
Exactly. Sometimes you just got to give back, you know.
And, you know, on the show, we do have at least 1.75 Twihards involved in this show.
1.75. Let me do the math real fast.
Well, I'm giving her a full point. I'm giving you a half a point.
And you're only at 0.25?
And I'm at 0.25.
Well, you give it a couple more viewings. We'll get you to that 0.5 level.
To be fair, I did miss a big chunk in the middle, and it was just pretty much recapped in a 3-minute wrap-up.
But maybe that's what you need to complete the half, is the the meat of it all.
I need to see the whole story to really appreciate it.
Not just the bookends.
No, I'm good reading the front cover, the back cover, and leaving the middle just to chance. But yeah, that's going to be a fun trip. But yeah, we are all fucking Twihards here to some degree.
To an extent.
Yeah. Some more reluctant than others.
To a very high degree.
Do you think yours balances out? Like maybe it's a full 3 points because you're like...
Yeah, like I think...
You're like 2.25?
I think I'm like higher Twilight fan like than the like normal Twilight. Like than the casual Twilight fan, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's just like vampires in general for you also.
True. Do love vampires.
Man, who doesn't love vampires? Aren't they just so great?
Is it your favorite mythical creature? Because it's definitely mine. If I could be turned into anything, I would want to be a vampire.
Anything?
I mean, I've wanted to be a vampire for a really long time. Like, really long time.
You were British for a while. I don't know. If I could be turned into anything, I want to be a pterodactyl. But I guess if I had to be turned into anything that wasn't a pterodactyl, it'd probably be a vampire.
Dang, dinosaur is a fun prospect. Sorry, now I can't get my mind on dinosaurs. I would love to be a vampire. I think it'd be fun. And I don't know if I used to be as big of a vampire fan. I think over the course of knowing Snort and knowing you, Dan, I've just somehow
been turned.
My whole life has led to this moment, I guess. My teeth have been getting sharper. Like, I kind of hate the sun more than I used to. I don't really know what's happening anymore.
A lot of vampire exposure.
No, I was always a vampire kid also, like being the little goth kid in fucking Florida that I was. Of course, vampires were in my mind. You know, it was also the age of John Carpenter's vampires and like the first Blade movie. So the vampires that I'm talking about were definitely the Matrix vampires more than the vampire renaissance that happened thereafter with the Twilighting.
Yeah.
My vampires didn't sparkle so much as my vampires exploded in the sun.
Were you a Lost Boys vampire fan?
No. Lost Boys was before my time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I still like Lost Boys. That's a good vampire movie.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you had me watch it just recently, and it holds up.
Don't get me wrong. I'll watch some Lost Boys. I can appreciate some Lost Boys, but... There's no blood rave in the Lost Boys like there is in Blade. Not enough techno music.
See, I don't know if I want the techno with my vampire, though.
So can we just get into like what our favorite vampire movie and TV stuff is?
Yeah.
Okay, then what is your favorite vampire like TV and movie stuff?
I mean, that's easy. What We Do in the Shadows is the answer for both.
Yeah. I mean, it works in both forms. Both are equally fantastic.
I love me something that's a little bit more meta and something that's also still so fucking invested in its own universe. And What We Do in the Shadows just kind of pulls that off so well. Like, in most vampire-y things, there's always a couple little vampire jokes, you know what I mean? Like a little meta-ness in the vampire. Like a vampire eating garlic or something, being like, oh, that's just a big lie. You know, stupid shit like that. But I think Taika Waititi just pulls it off so much fucking better than anybody else.
It's so good. It's like, it's like just a day in the life of a vampire. It's exactly what we want.
Honestly, yeah. Like, it just, I don't know. I think it just scratches the vampire itch as perfect as one can.
And it's realistic as dicks because, you know, if you're alive for that long, you get fucking bored.
It's very true. It's a very harsh reality of it all, I suppose.
And we all know a Colin Robinson.
Yeah, an energy vampire.
Yeah, I know too many Colin Robinsons. See, yeah, that it's honestly hard to top What We Do in the Shadows. So there's just one movie that's just kind of obscure that I want to give a shout out to because it's probably the oldest movie I've ever seen. It's from 1932. It's a movie called Vampire, but it's spelled with a Y.
Ooh, yeah. A Y, you say?
Yeah. And it's just like the most lighthouse-y vampire movie I've ever seen. It's a silent movie, and it's just these striking images that are just like, there's nothing scary about them, but it's just haunting in a way.
What does the vampire in the 1930 thing movie look like?
It just looks like regular people. It's black and white, so it just kind of looks obscured in a weird way, but it doesn't have like a definitive look. It's almost, this movie is just like a weird metaphor that I feel like I've still tried to find the meaning for and can't, but it's just a very unique experience that I think everybody should sit for like an hour 20 and watch.
I will say that my favorite portrayal of a vampire in any movie was Willem Dafoe in Nosferatu.
Of course it's hard not to appreciate some Dafoe.
Yeah, I looked at you like I needed to know your answer, but I'm pretty sure, like, and just hold on. Well, give me, hold on. Like, give me 3 seconds.
Okay. What is happening?
I have no idea. He's got a pin. He's opening the cabinet. He's opening the other cabinet. And now a third. Both are closed. He stops. He ponders. He looks around. He's getting flustered. One finger. 1 minute is all he needs. The hallway cabinet, empty as he sighs. He peers to the right. His room appears empty. Further and further he goes. Lost. Confused. Pondering his next move. He stops. He treks on. Has he discovered what he's looking for? The crumpled paper sounds like maybe a yes. Shuffling. He heads into the kitchen and begins to write. What's on the paper is a mystery to the two inside the room. He writes and writes and smirks some more. He folds the paper. Could it be a card? Is it a special message? Is it a bomb threat?
Dan has returned from his bomb threat. No, we can't say that out loud. Google, we did not say those words out loud. I'm sorry, Google, please don't report us. It was just a joke. We do a podcast. We're sorry, we're funny.
It's about movies.
It's a podcast about movies. All right, I am back. Silent John.
Yes.
I have in my hand an envelope with some words written on it.
Okay.
I'm going to hand you this envelope. I do not want you to look at this envelope.
Okay.
What is happening?
I have the envelope.
Snort, you may proceed with your favorite vampire TV show and movies.
Okay. So, the obvious one is Twilight. I love Twilight. We've talked about it many, many a times. But I also love a lot more other vampire stuff. Vampire Diaries. Love it. The originals, love it even more. Sorry, I didn't really like Legacies, people. What We Do in the Shadows, obviously. I feel like I'm like being quizzed for like what's in the paper. But kind of an offbeat one about a vampire killer that I used to love. The Van Helsing Hugh Jackman movie. Fucking loved that movie.
Okay, well, I can definitely say I did not predict that at all.
It's Hugh, come on, what do you expect?
Yeah, but I don't predict anybody to ever say I liked Van Helsing.
She talks about it a good chunk, honestly.
All right, John, you may open the envelope.
Would you like me to read the two results out loud?
Yes, please.
Okay. The two things written on the note read as, number one, Twilight. Number two, Vampire Diaries. What are you, some sort of mentalist?
I'm a vampire.
Oh.
I can read your mind.
You want to suck my blood?
Something?
Oh.
Guys, the 2000s was a really good time. Like, early, mid-2000s was a really good time for vampires.
Oh, yeah, that was prime fucking vampire time.
Yeah, 100%. Some good, some bad. But there was enough to go around.
Well, something that's been around since before the 2000s and never fucking left is the fucking star of tonight's film, Nicolas fucking Cage.
The man himself. And let me tell you what, I did a little bit of homework this week on Mr. Nick Cage. There is a movie that's been on the old watch list for quite some time. And as we kind of knew Renfield was getting made and that it was coming in the near future, I was like, you know what? Maybe it's best to just hold off. Maybe I should wait to sample the Vampire Cage until closer to Renfield. So this past week, Dan, I did it. I put it on. You already know.
I know where this is going.
I had to watch Vampire's Kiss for the first time. And I was so encapsulated by this movie, so blown away, that just this morning I made Snort watch like this 9-minute comp on YouTube. And from my opinion, as one who's now seen it, covered every base that you need to get out of this movie.
Yeah, there's about 9 minutes worth of content in that movie when you really look at it.
This is my takeaway. Because of Nick Cage, that movie works. I think that as batshit insane as this man is, he's doing something brilliant. I think that this weird fucking movie only works with him letting his inner Cage out. Like, he commits to the bit 1,000%.
After I saw the YouTube video, I was jealous that I didn't get to watch it with you because I'm sad I missed out on this. It's like the most insane Cage I feel like I might have ever seen just from that 9-minute video I watched.
But see, this is my Cage theory. Like, this is Cage's default setting.
I think so.
Cage is a vampire who just all the time pretends to be this actor human named Nick Cage. And it's only when he plays a vampire that he gets to just let it all out.
Well, and even in the movie, like, you get so many different shades of insane from him. This accent, whatever you want to call it, just changes so much. I mean, you get the shot of him running down the street. I'm a vampire! I'm a vampire!
That was my favorite scene from all of them.
Like, I agree 100%, Dan. Like, it definitely seems like somebody was like, holy shit, that's Nick Cage. Let me film this moment as it's happening.
We're only allowed to shoot at night. If it's supposed to be daytime, we got to make it look like daytime. We're only shooting at night.
I mean, he goes on a complete angry rant and recites the whole alphabet at one point in this movie. The memes just ooze out of it, and I'm so happy to finally have seen the source of them all. I'm sad it took me so long, but it felt like this was the right time in my life, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely the right time in our lives for Nick Cage in this one, because him is this kind of like overly opulent Dracula with all the fucking robes, and like, it's just how I picture Nick Cage walking around the house with Hugin.
This is just him. He brought his own clothes to set. He was like, I got it covered.
Wardrobe, don't worry about it. No, I got that.
What is this movie? Do you guys know what this movie is like exactly about? Because like, it's called Renfield. Nick Cage is in it as Dracula. Like, what's it about? Do we know?
Okay, so Nick Cage is like the Dracula in this movie, like Vlad the Dracula from Transylvania.
Yeah. Transylvania.
Not just like a Dracula, he's the Dracula. And the Dracula in like Bram Stoker's books or whatever had like Renfield, who was his kind of half-infected assistant that would help him, you know, move the coffin onto boats to during the daytime and make sure that he's safe. And it was his, like, familiar. It was his gizmo.
Oh, okay.
So Renfield is kind of like his gizmo, but his gizmo has powers and is evil also to an extent. And that's our other Nick, Mr. Nicholas Holt.
Which, yeah, like, I don't want him to get overshadowed by Nick Cage because he is becoming such a fantastic actor. He's definitely somebody who, if I see he's in something, I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'll watch some fucking Warm Bodies. Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. That's a movie I'd like to revisit. We watched that, like, back in the Redbox day. Well, Redbox is, I guess, kind of still hanging on, but back in its heyday.
Yeah. But so do we expect Nicolas Cage to be in this movie, like, a lot as Dracula? Like, he's not just going to, like, pop in and out, right?
No, this is... When you get Nick Cage as Dracula, you use Nick Cage as Dracula. We're at, like, Marvel territory where it's, okay, let's leave their helmets off so we can see their faces. You got Nick Cage booked. He needs to be in 75% of this movie. Otherwise, you didn't get your Cage value.
See, and I really hope it's that case, but I don't know. For how much this trailer has been shoved down my throat, and you know, you both know how much I hate that, I'm getting worried that we might not get that much Cage for some reason. I'm just getting this feeling.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I'm getting that same vibe.
I'm feeling that there's going to be a lot of Cage, because I think it's going to be more about the relationship between Renfield and Dracula than anything else like Renfield is doing in his own personal life.
Well, that's what it should be about. I mean, based on the lore that you just described, I mean, that's... If I'm going to a movie about Renfield, I want to see him and Dracula schmuck it up however they have to.
Oh, there will be some double Nick schmucking about. For fucking sure.
Yeah, one thing I'm very excited about, it. I mean, it kind of seems like this could be like a Violent Night situation. I think we're just going to get some super brutal kills in this thing.
Oh yeah, Nick Cage is going to be ripping some motherfuckers to shreds in this.
I'm curious to see what his finishing move is.
Yeah, there's going to be some drowning pool, let the bodies fucking hit the floor on this motherfucker. No, I am excited to see the relationship between the Nicks in this, because I think it could be close to the endearing level of the Pedro and the Nick.
Oh, I could see that.
Because you've got the father figure type. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot that can be involved in that.
Oh, for sure. And I think in their press tour they've done together, they both are extremely, like, complimentary of each other. Like, they definitely seem like they really, like, loved having each other's presence, like, every single day.
Yeah, I did see a clip of Nicholas Holt doing one, a little press junket, where he was drinking coffee out of a mug with Nick Cage's face on it.
Embracing the caginess.
He's in the fucking cage, for sure.
Hopefully he gets let out in this movie as Renfield.
He'll be doing just fine. Gotta get down. All right, well, John, since it's your birthday episode, I'm going to let you get your final words in on your expectations for the Renfield.
Well, my expectations are pretty simple. I want Nick Cage all the time. As we talked about, I want the Nick and Nick connection to just blossom so beautifully. And last but not least, I want Nick Cage to channel some of that Vampire's Kiss energy in this movie. I want a more refined Nick Cage vampire. But I want some of that crazy, rummaging the New York streets vampire at the same time in this thing. And that's all I'm asking for. I'm a simple guy. That's not too much, I don't think.
All right, Nick Cage, did you hear that? That's John's birthday fucking wish right there. He wants some Vampire Kiss love in this Renfield movie. Just one little reference.
Can you ask for a Hoogan appearance also? Can we get a Hoogan cameo in this?
Yes. To our Dark Lord, Mr. Cage, Nick, whatever you like to be called, let Hoogan come along just this one time. I think he could get some air.
Okay, you do know now if we do see a raven in this movie, we are staying for the credits to see if Hoogan got credited for this.
If we stay throughout the credits, once the final title card rolls and the screen goes to black, all I want to hear is, "Gah!" That's the credit that Hoogan deserves.
That's all Nick Cage's, like, production stamp. Cage Productions. All right, guys. Well, are we ready to go to the cinema and sneak in some fucking cookies and birthday cake and go watch a Nick Cage movie?
I think so. You guys ready to bat?
Bat?
And now, our feature presentation. Norton John bought the tickets, I bought the snacks, and we're back. And we just watched Renfield.
Renfield.
And what a bloody mess it was.
Yeah, and we did attend a special, special screening of Renfield.
Yeah, we did. It was just for us.
Should we sound the alarms?
Womp, 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 womp.
A nice, breezy 420 showing. It doesn't get better than that.
So nice and relaxing. And, well, let's start this off. Let's start this off with a little bit of first impressions. The movie as a whole was, it was all right. It was a movie. It was a vampire movie.
Kinda. Yeah. I'll say it. I'm a little disappointed. There were some itches that were scratched, but not in the ways I was hoping for, I guess.
I was just kind of bored most of the movie, honestly.
Okay, well, Dan did do a little bit of time traveling during the movie because it was a dark room and Dan was already really high and Dan was out late last night, so I did time travel a little bit during the film.
I definitely shut my eyes a couple times. I was still listening, but I just rested my eyes.
What about you, Silent John?
I was awake, but I mean, it felt like I took a nap, that's for sure.
It was a long hour and a half, let me tell you.
Yeah, it was a long hour and a half. But the movie, while we did see a lot of Nick Cage in it, more than you guys thought we were going to see.
I don't know. I feel like he wasn't around as much. It kind of felt like the Awkwafina show for most of the movie, honestly.
Yeah,
it was definitely the Nicholas Holt and Awkwafina show, but it's not like you just got like the one scene of Nick Cage and he was just this all-encompassing like force over the rest of the movie type thing.
Yeah.
You did get some Nick Cage chewing up the fucking scenery in this movie, and that's honestly why we bought the fucking tickets.
And that is 100% true. I mean, he was flat out amazing in this. It's when you can commit to the bit and chew on the scenery the way Nick Cage does, like it's just a fantastic performance. Nothing else just kind of could compare to it, in my opinion. So when you market it as a Nick Cage movie, I want him fucking being wacky and wild more, damn it.
You know what I feel like my issue with the movie is I liked Nick Cage as Dracula and I liked Nicholas Holt as Renfield. But it felt like they were in two different movies, like, by the way they were acting. And not even because, like, of the Nick Cage-iness of it all. Like, it didn't seem like it meshed together.
It didn't seem like a cohesive, like, story performance type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely felt disjointed because the scenes with Cage were separated from the main plot. There was definitely an A plot and then, like, a C plot. It felt like there wasn't a B plot. I think that's what a lot of the disjointedness felt about it.
Yeah.
Because the A-plot is Nicholas Holt and him coming to terms with the toxic relationship he has with Dracula and the stuff with Awkwafina and she's the cop and trying to uncover the mystery. I mean, they kind of cross over when you've got, you know, Ben Schwartz, who I really enjoyed seeing in this film.
I will say he was a little dickhead, but it was kind of brilliant.
When he popped up in the fucking Charger, the bright orange Charger, I was like, oh, Jean-Ralphio's in this? Awesome. Yeah, Sonic the fucking Hedgehog himself in this.
Yeah.
Great little, great villain role. But the main villain was Nick Cage. And I did like Nick Cage because he did, like you said, John, he gave it his all in this movie. He was fucking Bela Lugosi figuratively and in certain scenes literally. Because the opener when Renfield's like talking about the history of Dracula and you get the shot for shot sequences from the original Dracula film with Bela Lugosi, but with Nicolas Cage standing in for Bela Lugosi, that was just amazing to me. That was beautiful.
That was like my favorite scene in the whole movie. It was so good.
Yeah, it was a nice little throwback taste that was a world I wish Renfield would have been instead, knowing where this movie went. I'm more sold on that little 2-3 minute snippet of that version of Nick Cage's Dracula. That looked so fucking good.
Yeah, it's very much the same as the Wolverine movie where you get the whole sequence at the beginning of Wolverine and Sabretooth fighting through every fucking war throughout the past 200 years. And then the rest of the movie is just kind of, why didn't they just talk about the opening scene the whole time?
This was way more interesting. And maybe that's one of my main beefs with this movie, is it's just kind of like simple. Like, maybe I'm asking too much, but I wanted them to dive deeper into, like, the lore of everything. But it's just like, Well, they don't really get along. Renfield wants to bounce. Nick Cage is turning evil. Here's Awkwafina to get you through it.
So we do get also a couple of scenes of Nick Cage in full makeup.
In various stages, too.
Yeah, in various stages of recomposition. And I thought for like a brief second that they just got, you know, okay, this is how we're going to save some Cage money. We're just going to have this like makeup guy and we'll dub Cage over it or something like that. Mm-hmm. No.
Absolutely
not. That was Nicholas in there. Nicholas was inside the costumes.
The way he acted, like only he can, like through all of that makeup. Yeah, his full Cage.
Yeah, he was able to portray such wild, cagey emotion through layers upon layers of makeup. And when he first melts his face, like he's like, rah, rah, he's kind of Michael Douglas in a little bit. He just, oh, why can't it just be the Nick Cage show for an hour and a half?
Because it had to be the Nicholas Holt show.
I know.
For an hour and a half.
I know.
Honestly, like Nicholas Holt, I like Nicholas Holt. And I like a good Nicholas Holt movie that starts off with a good Nicholas Holt fucking like voiceover. For some reason, that's
an ongoing thing.
But the Renfield character, like, you've got this character of Dracula, right? There's a reason that, like, Renfield wasn't the main character in Dracula. It's because there's a fucking Dracula.
Because he's a vampire. Why do you not show a fucking vampire?
And in this case, your Dracula is Nicholas fucking Cage. All the more reason this movie shouldn't have been the Renfield show, and you should have gotten deeper into the Cage.
Yeah, and I don't want to say Nicholas Holt was bad in this by any means. It's just kind of like, he's just kind of there. Like, I don't know. And maybe it's just because his character's kind of like trying to be, or I guess find the acceptance of what his relationship with Renfield is. But I wanted him to have like more of an edge to him, you know, and be more combative and not more like, oh no, Dracula, please don't.
And then just run away and hide and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the scenes where he was kicking ass, though, after he ate the bugs and got his buggy powers, and he was ripping people's arms off and shoving them through each other. The brutality in this movie, while there was a lot of CG brutality, lot of CG saving money brutality in this movie, it was very clever brutality.
It was. I mean, it felt like most of it was just like heads exploding, which I'm totally, totally cool with. But there were like some fun bits, like him ripping the arms off and like lawn darting them at other like SWAT police guys. That was a fun little thing.
I liked like what happened and everything. But one thing I noticed, especially during like the Dracula scenes when he's like killing people, is, and maybe it has to do with like the vampire lore of this movie, but we'd have no idea, is he never like bites people on the neck except for like one person at the end. Like he's not killing, he's just like slicing people with his hands. I want to see Dracula biting fucking necks and killing, you know? Isn't that weird?
No, I mean, that's what a Dracula is supposed to do. That's like, you know, wanting to see a clown juggle. Well, not you, obviously. Normal people wanting to... That's what Draculas are supposed to do. Draculas are supposed to bite necks. They're not supposed to, like, you know, fucking... That's some werewolf shit right there.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they kind of address a lot of these, like, maybe abnormal things at the end of the movie, saying, like, yeah, you know, we wanted to make sure we took every measure possible to make sure that Dracula's dead or whatever. Because there's so many different ways, apparently, that you can. We just did every single one. It's like they just kind of, like... took the lore and played with it a little bit, but I don't know. It wasn't anything new and exciting to me.
But it's also hard to be new and exciting with a movie character that's been around for almost 100 some odd goddamn years.
But you have Nick fucking Cage.
Nicholas fucking Cage. I mean, they did rip somebody's face off.
That's the thing, is like it was very like slapsticky and fun in those moments, like those big gory body parts being flung around action sequences. They were awesome because they had a great soundtrack, you know. It's just, I don't know, there's just not enough of those wow kind of moments for me. And in a weird way, I wanted these scenes to, I guess, replace Holt with Cage. I feel so bad. I really do. But well,
why couldn't they have just gotten Nicky Cage to play Renfield and Nicolas Cage to play the vampire?
I wouldn't still buy that ticket, 100%.
And the movie does take place. I mean, there is another character in this movie, and that's the city of New Orleans, where the movie does take place. And they did shoot it there, so I guess that might have factored into the cage of it all also. Just shooting up right up the street from the house.
Man, he got people coming to his doorstep nowadays. You want to be Dracula? We'll just do it outside. Come on.
You want to do a Nick Cage movie? You come to fucking New Orleans. You set that motherfucker in New Orleans. I am not leaving the county.
I'm even more convinced now that those were his own clothes.
They had to be.
There is no way I'm not going home to Hugin every night that I'm shooting.
I wonder if Hugin, you know, set up some shots. They just strapped a little camera in his little claws.
When Nick Cage explodes into bats, each one of those bats was actually a mocap from
there
Hugin.
You go.
That's what he's credited with.
All the bats.
Hugin in a little like mocap suit. Little balls all over him.
We can only hope.
No, Nick Cage did do some vampire-y stuff in this movie, aside from like eating people like a werewolf. He did explode into bats.
Yeah.
Bats.
But
he turned into the vapor and like went into the priest and made the priest explode. That was fun.
Yeah. Which I think he went vapory, kind of smoky when he was fighting Renfield as well at one point.
Yeah, like at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Renfield and Dracula do fight a little bit in this movie because that's the entire like overarching story is the, you know, we're breaking up.
The toxic relationship.
You see Dracula in his coffin once.
Yep, that's a vampire thing. Tick. Yeah. Nick Cage's coffin, brought that one from home for that day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think as far as a vampire movie goes, it was a standard fare vampire comedy.
See, I think it's more of a comedy movie with a little bit of vampire than a vampire comedy.
Yeah, I feel like I could agree with that take, because there was a lot of jokes that just kind of fell flat for me. I felt like some of the writing was just a little bit lazy, and maybe that's why I wasn't as excitable in the non-Nick Cage moments, because whether his dialogue was bad or not, it's Nick Cage, so he made it interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it was nice to see, again, going back to Ben Schwartz, because every line Ben Schwartz fucking had was fucking amazing. Could somebody call my mommy? Like, seeing Nick Cage and Ben Schwartz, those are two over-the-top, like, extra-level personality types, and they both just got every good line in the entire fucking movie.
Well, it's like they're just very eccentric in just entirely different ways. But it did mesh well. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, Ben Schwartz, he's kind of like the crime boss's fucking kid. He's trying to run like the crime family. And Renfield fucking goes to save Awkwafina when she's getting assaulted by the crime family or whatever. Fucking the A plot should have been the fucking C plot. And the C plot should have been the A plot.
Right.
So I'm just going to skip all of that stupid bullshit. That was the A plot. So we're going to skip that fucking hour long piece of the movie.
Moral of the story, basically Dracula teams up with the mob.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to tell this whole thing from Nick Cage, the vampire's perspective. All right, so Nick Cage has got this dude, right? And this dude has been, like, with him for so long. And Nick Cage has taken care of him, shown him everything, shown him the world. And all of a sudden, this guy just stops doing what he's supposed to, you know? And Nick Cage needs this guy to do what he's supposed to, because that's what Nick Cage survives on. That's what he lives on. He needs that. And they're on some hard times, you know. Back in the 1800s, they were doing fine. They were living high on the hog. But now they're at this abandoned fucking hospital, living like vagrants. And the person that Nick Cage is supposed to be relying on is just giving up on him. And fucking just leaves him. Just breaks it off. So Nick Cage, what does Nick Cage do? Nick Cage finds a better piece of ass. Nick Cage gets himself some Ben Schwartz, gets involved with the crime family, and he wants to fucking rule the goddamn world to show that motherfucker that left him, you shouldn't have done that.
Two things. That whole description gave me like a mini epiphany that maybe this movie is just about like the tragedy of like the elderly, how they need their caretakers. And this is what happens when they get abandoned. Their kids finally move away, get their own house. It's all bright and colorful. What the fuck is this? You're supposed to be bringing me dinner. And this is what you've been fucking doing.
You're leaving me destitute? So I'm going to find this other hot little youngin, and he's going to get everything that I was betrothing to you?
You painted a picture of like where they stayed was almost like a nursing home. And it just was a very sad, tragic story. almost kind of wish it would have went that way. Part two to that, I hated the mob storyline. I really did. I don't need Dracula to partner up with the mob. That's not my Dracula story.
Oh, I definitely need Dracula to partner up with the mob. I think the payoff of having all the fucking familiar fucking henchmen at the end.
I mean, it's a fun bit, yes.
That was a fun bit, but I think like once the mob part started in the movie, that's when I was like, okay, no, I think I'm like, that was my out sharks moment.
Well, you gotta have some kind of bad guy in the
movie. Yeah, you do, the fucking Dracula. You don't need the goddamn mob.
But then what's Ben Schwartz supposed to do?
He could get out of the movie, go home.
No, he could stay. He just, I don't know, he could just fuck around. He didn't have to be part of the mob.
Ben Schwartz just could have been some, like, vampire fanboy?
Yeah.
That stumbled across the Dracula?
Yeah, like, holy shit, you're the guy. I could be your guy. Fuck yeah.
I would literally do anything. This guy's not doing anything for you. I got you, man. You want fucking little kids to eat? I'll get you some little kids to eat, Nick Cage.
Renfield, he's the worst.
The worst.
See, now I just want Jenny Slate to be Awkwafina's character. Just bring the whole Parks gang in. Maybe that's my problem, is I feel like there's so many other things that I would have accepted. It's just the one they picked is the one I reject.
No, but the movie does end with a big fight scene between the Renfield and the Nick Cage, and the Nick Cage gets exorcised back to hell in little pieces and hails fucking Satan.
Which, well deserved. I'm glad we finally got the man dropping the Satan bomb on us.
Yeah, that's a gif I'm going to be using very quickly.
I hope I get it tomorrow, actually.
And yeah, it was a fucking movie that we watched, and Nick Cage was a fucking 11 on it. Like, the movie was like a 5, maybe. Four, maybe.
Yeah, I would say it's mid-range. And that's the thing is, like, this isn't really even a movie to go beat by beat on. Like, it just...
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's killing and there's not. That's the movie.
But Nick Cage, he was a fucking 11.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm not going to say I hated this movie. I had fun in parts. And those parts I'd love to revisit, whether it's a GIF form, I'll watch it on YouTube. I need more of, like, this Cage vampire in my life. I don't think we'll get it anymore, but if I have to just pick pieces out of Renfield, I guess I can live with it.
Oh, no, because we're talking about it right now, the TikTok's algorithm is going to pick up on the fact that we've been talking about it for the last 2 hours. And so for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to get nothing but Nick Cage vampire TikToks, and I'm going to be sending them to you.
Okay,
so
well, there you go.
Will get it.
All right. It'll eventually, you know, wear itself out. But for now.
What a sad thing to say about a movie, though, is that, yeah, I could revisit this movie just seeing it basically in GIFs.
Oh, no. That's, yeah. Yeah, that's not great.
It's a very GIFable movie.
It is.
It is, but that's about it.
We sound like the lady I complained to you guys about earlier. Well, I watched 5 minutes and I fast-forwarded it. I watched 5 more minutes and I fast-forwarded it. Oh, it's just not for me.
No, we watched the whole thing.
No, I know.
We just know that the 5 minutes that we liked was for us.
Like I said, I genuinely feel bad. Like, this is my birthday episode and I'm just kind of like, meh. Like, it was all right.
John, it's your birthday. You can cry if you want to.
I'm going to.
I'd cry too if it happened to you.
I need to get out of this toxic relationship with this movie.
But hey, this is just our honest review.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to go out and rush out to watch it. Just watch the little bits on TikTok and enjoy it. Engage, motherfucker. All right, guys, but that was a vampire kiss. No, wait.
Well, I wish it was.
All right, guys, but that was the Renfields that we watched for a fun stoner 420 movie.
Can I just say one more thing about it, though?
Yeah.
Because it was a part of my wishes before we saw it. I wanted a little vampire's kiss, a little sliver. In my opinion, we got it. Because I think I even heard you chuckle snort when he's kind of rambling on and hit a, woo!
Yeah, I feel like there was a couple little moments of vampire kiss Nick Cage.
Yeah, well, anytime that Nick Cage gets in the Dracula costume, on his own time. I'm pretty sure he's doing little vampire kisser bits as well in the mirror.
Well, there you go. That was my biggest want, and they at least slightly checked that box.
Blew out that candle.
He can't do it in the mirror.
Oh, yeah. They don't have reflection. The cage reflection, I forgot. Hogan, mime this for me. With your mocap suit. All right, but yeah, that was the Renfield movie that we just watched. We are continuing along with our 420 month programming with a special Thursday drop.
On actual 420.
At 4:20 in the morning, like we always do.
Wow, double bump, 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 bumps.
Wow, bump, 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 bump,
bump, bump, bump, bump, bump, bump, bump, bump.
You forgot the whale part.
Wow.
Oh.
I like that one.
And for our 4:20 movie pick, the final pick is going to Mr. John. And John has bestowed upon us one of the greatest stoner movies ever fucking made.
Dudes, dudettes, we're watching The Big Lebowski.
I'm a dude. He's a dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes, yeah.
I am so excited to watch this. It's just one of those all-time classics that is just such a ride. And I think the ride changes every viewing. You view it in different ways, so I'm excited to celebrate 420 in The Big Lebowski kind of way.
I'm super excited for this. I think it's going to be so much fun. I love this movie.
This is one of my all-time favorite fucking movies. I am going to grab some fucking White Russians.
Hell yeah.
Smoke some roaches. And enjoy the fuck out of this viewing.
Yeah, I'm honestly really excited for the three of us to digest this thing and bestow our opinions high. Because this feels like a very highbrow 420 pick, you know.
Yeah, this is some higher level cinema.
How high can we go with these puns or euphemisms or whatever you want to call them?
Oh, I'm pretty high already. So.
Dude.
We can take this motherfucker to the sky.
You know what would be a good double feature? The Big Lebowski? And dude, where's my car?
When you were introing it, I was worried you were going to switch it up on me. And you were just going to be like, dude, where's my car?
Well, we just talked about it earlier, too. I think it's a fitting 420 pick if we went that route.
To be fair, we throw the Zoltans out there pretty fucking frequently, John.
We did it in the concession stand line today, waiting for Renfield.
Are we destined to watch Dude, Where's My Car at some point? Yes.
There's a good chance.
That just solidified it right there.
Well, hold on. Snort, have you seen Dude, Where's My Car?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, but Snort, have you seen Dude, Where's My Car?
Yes, I have.
Man, it's been a long time. It does demand a rewatch at some point.
See, I don't think I ever need to rewatch it again.
Have you seen it, huh?
I don't know.
That's just a no then.
Yeah, could change some things.
Yeah, it's a different movie.
I haven't seen it, high. I mean, I watched that shit like when I was younger. And I wasn't smoking weed.
When you were just dumb?
Yeah.
And it was still already funny?
Yeah. And now I'm going to need the weed to make it fun, but I would like to give it a go.
Are we switching it up?
No. We're going to pocket that one.
Okay. We're gonna put that one back on the shelf.
Yep.
But we are going to, at some point.
We're going to come around.
Yeah.
Dude.
Sweet.
What does mine say?
Dude.
Sweet.
But yeah, that's going to be next week. We're going to watch the fucking Big Lebowski for our fucking 420 special, dropping Thursday, special fucking episode, womp, 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 womp. So if you want to follow along with the rest of our 420.
Make sure to follow along on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Tuchzima Podcast. Make sure to give us 5 stars, leave a review on Spotify, Apple, wherever else you can listen to us at.
But that will be it for this week. So if you see 3 people in a fucking warehouse with a bunch of stolen cocaine, but they're really into ska music and they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye.
I'm so mad I forgot about the ska music.
That was like a big part of
that was movie. That was my thought when it came up. I was like, wow, they really want to send a message about ska. And I'm into it. Don't disrespect the ska. Wow. Well, that's a bummer. I think that says more about the movie than anything else. A movie so meh you forget the ska. The message they tried to slap you in the face with. Okay, bye.
Really well. Ooh.
What?
Ooh. This does work really well. I think I'm going to do this from now on. Like the full lean back?
What is happening over here?
I mean, if you want to, I can attach your mic stand right here. And then you could just straddle me and I can put the mic there and then we could just look into each other's eyes while we talk.
I'll just be on fifth quarter by myself, I guess, guys.
Normal.
I love the way you are with your hands. They're so good.
You know what? I get that compliment a lot.
I know. You should be like a hand model for sure. Look at that. I would take an image of that and do things to it.
Well, I did go get a manicure like yesterday.
Aren't you happy somebody
I'm
noticed?
I'm at the top of my game right now.
Look at that. I can spot some nice hands from a couch to a chair distance.
You know what you should be? A hand model scout.
Oh, I could be the guy. Well, I don't like that title. Hand model scout. And people are thinking I'm into hands in like a weird kind of way.
Hand model agent.
Okay, that's better. That
That'll
sounds
work.
More like official.
Yeah.
What about my hands?
They're the most gorgeous hands I've ever seen. I am an expert after all.